Hello, everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. And we are funded by the one and only Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen all the way to publication since 1955. You can learn more about the PNWA and their upcoming Writers Conference. Promises to be another good one. Yes, indeed it does. That's going to be this July, middle of July. I can't remember the exact dates, but it's coming up soon. You can go to pnwa.org. You can sign up for the conference, learn more about the PNWA. Let's see. Very quickly, I've mentioned this before. I thought I'd mention it again. As you know, you may know that I've been writing a daily blog for Author Magazine since about 2009. And if you've read the blog, you know it's not really technical advice, but more emotional support or philosophical perspective on the creative experience to sort of guide writers and be with them as a companion as they go along their creative journey. The emotional journey of the writer is one that really requires a constant learning, a constant mastering. And I've recently started another website for parents with kids on the spectrum with any kind of special needs. It's called noneisbroken.com, noneisbroken.com, and I'll be blogging there about once a week with the same idea in mind, not to teach people how to be a parent, but to simply provide the kind of support I know a lot of times parents don't get when they're raising these kinds of kids. So much focus is on the kids and often not on the parents themselves, and I think raising these kids brings up all kinds of challenging questions that go unanswered. So I'll try and answer them as best I can. So you can head on over to noneisbroken.com if you want to check that out. I'll be writing about once a week there. Well, you know, life to me, I did not understand life really until I began to treat it as a relationship. That life is just a relationship. And in that way, it's like a big conversation. That makes sense to me. Life is a conversation. Writing is a conversation. And, of course, talking to people, this show is a conversation. So today, very special guest, someone who knows a bit about conversation. I'm here to welcome Vicki St. Clair. Vicki is, among other things, the host of Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Find it at KNWM in Seattle. I'd be curious to hear what she thinks. If the conversations we have one-on-one, which require such curiosity and interest and enthusiasm, are the same sort of elements that we, that same curiosity and interest and enthusiasm that, say, a writer would bring to their work. But I don't have to wonder. I can ask her herself because she's here with me now. Vicki, welcome to the show.
Yes. Thank you, Bill. I'm very pleased to be with you. Lovely way to spend a Tuesday afternoon.
Isn't it? And it's a nice Tuesday, but we're going to talk to each other because that's a good thing to do too, isn't it?
It is.
Talking to people. So, all right, well, listen, some of our listeners may not know about you or your show. Tell us a little bit about Conversations Live. You've been doing it for like 10 years now. I got my numbers right?
Yeah, I've been with KKNW for almost 11 years now. I've had my own show for almost 7 years now. So it's just amazing where time goes. It doesn't seem that long at all.
Now, how does one get their own, speaking as someone with his own smaller show, but how did you fall into this this line of work? It was not your ambition when you set on your sort of professional track, was it?
Not at all. I'd never even considered going into radio. I was actually, I'd been a VP senior manager in banking for a while. I'd worked with my parents before that in their business, very entrepreneurial. And I decided to quit the bank and move up to Seattle. And I went back to University of Washington to do documentary film production. And I started writing, started freelancing. And things just kind of took off there. I had a little feature series going and interviewing inspirational women. And one day I was filming up in Canada. I came home and there was a message on my answering machine. We didn't have voicemail back then. But and the guy said he'd read some of my articles and would like to talk to me. And to make a long story short, he left me 3 messages that week. On the 4th message, he said, look, I own a station. I was busy and I hadn't had a chance to call him back. I was getting back really late. But he said, look, I own a station. I've read some of your articles. I would like you to come into the station and do what you do with those articles, but live on air. I'm putting it into the universe. The rest is up to you. And so that's how it began.
That's so funny. Very unexpected.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might have heard in my intro, when I do my show, one of my, what drives me in the work I do with authors is the idea that what it takes to write the book you want to write is what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. The creative process doesn't matter whether it's a book or business or a marriage. It's the same sort of process at work. So that's what I kind of come to the microphone with every day, is that idea in my head. When you do your show, I hate to say an angle, but is there something that you're looking for to get out of that conversation? Because there are no questions of go. What do you look for in that with things?
Right. You broke up a little bit there, but I think you asked me what I was looking for with guests. And that is basically different with each guest a little bit, because I deal with so many different kinds of guests. I deal with thought leaders, business leaders, leading medical professionals, researchers, neuroscientists, a lot of authors, filmmakers, photographers. Yesterday I talked with a wildlife photographer who'd been in Africa for a few years. So it is a little different with each one, but my mantra really is to lift and inspire. And as far as the radio show goes, we want to inspire, inform, and stimulate. So if we fall into that criteria, and if, you know, we maybe one word or a couple of words connect with one person, I think we've done a job there.
Yeah. And do you yourself want to feel inspired as you're doing it, or inspired as you're doing it, actually doing the interview?
Yes, I think that's why. I really think that's why people who work, who teach, who work with this kind of communications, do it, because you can't help. I think if you lift somebody else and inspire somebody else, you cannot fail to be lifted and inspired yourself.
I agree.
And you know, I have over the years done. Taking jobs just for the money, and that can be really soul-destroying. We all know, we've all been there. I said to my producer as I was leaving yesterday, because the hour just whizzed by, and I said, you know, this is my favorite hour of the week.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And how about you? Do you love you? You obviously love what you do, too.
I love, you know, I only do the things I like to do now. But you know what's funny, Vicki? And I'd be curious if you feel the same way. I do things I like to do, but if I lose track of why I'm doing them, in other words, if I start thinking with my books just about sales, just about how much it's selling, or if I start looking at just the numbers that I'm getting on my radio or whatever, it suddenly becomes meaningless and I start hating it, weirdly.
Yeah.
But when I start thinking about connecting with people and uplifting them and sharing something of value with them, suddenly it has meaning again, and I'm interested. Have you ever gone through that? Even with something you love?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I've gotten myself into – I'm a bit of a workaholic. And so sometimes I've kind of driven myself into a position where, you know, I'm working 7 days a week, and I think, oh, well, it's going to end soon, and it doesn't, and it continues. And then you're just so busy, you know, keeping ahead of yourself that you forget – why you're doing it. And I can think very clearly in 2010 that happened to me. And I thought, you know, I can't keep doing the radio show. I'm so busy. And we did an event down in Seattle. It was a live event. And we had hundreds of people come down to see us and say things like, oh, you've made a difference. I love listening in. And I make my boyfriend listen, or I make my husband listen. You know, it was very humbling, for one, and then it made me realize it's not my radio show I need to let go of. It's something else that I am not as attached to.
Yeah. Well, so the radio show is one is 1 hour a week, but you got a lot of hours in the week. What are you doing with yourself the rest of the time? Just sitting around eating bonbons? It doesn't sound like it.
Oh, no, I sit there and paint my nails different colors. No, well, the radio show, to produce a one-hour radio show, it takes about 8 hours, so we can chunk that out. You know, I do thoroughly research and you know, come up with unique questions for each show. I mean, you've listened to some shows where you know they're just asking the same questions or just looking at the publicity material that came through. So, you know, I also write and I consult and I teach occasional workshops. So, yeah, I'm kept busy.
Awesome.
And I'm just, this year, I'm trying to catch up on a couple of projects that got put on the back burner a couple of years ago when I was super busy and I was really working 7 days every week. So I'm trying to get those off my plate this year.
So when you think about the Vicky St. Clair of, say, 7 years ago, before you started your own show, and the Vicky St. Clair today, what is the biggest change that you feel has occurred in your life as a result of that work? Can you pinpoint something?
Yes. On a personal level, I'm far less shy than I was.
You were shy?
You know, I talk...
Really?
I was, yeah, I wish.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Not when I got to know people, but before I got to know people. And then, you know, but I think the biggest thing, you know, it's been like going out and getting several university degrees because, you know, when you talk with a Harvard professor or, you know, a top leading neuroscientist about certain topics, you know, it's exciting. There's all this new information that you keep taking in and you can't help but, you know, grow and learn from that, and then you want to learn more. And so I think that's been a great thing for me because I do like to keep learning and it's always been a challenge. And I know if I run into frustration in life in general, and I'm feeling frustrated and blah, it's because I'm not learning enough. It's not anybody else's fault. It's because I'm not learning and growing enough. And the radio show really helps me to do that. So there's a selfish motive there too, I guess.
Well, but I love what you said, Vicky, is that if you're feeling low and blah, because you're not learning enough, and learning to me, now see what you think. Tell me what you think of this. See, I was teaching a class last year, and at the table, everybody at the table had college degrees of some kind. There was also a professor of philosophy and religious studies at the table. There was a neuroscientist at the table. And the only one without a college degree at that table was the guy teaching it, which was me. And I thought, how did I get here? And I thought, it's my curiosity. I am profoundly curious about the writing process and the creative process. And when I'm connected to my curiosity, life is interesting. And I'm pursuing and I'm learning and I'm learning. And isn't that what learning is? Just connection to your own curiosity. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes,
validation,
absolutely. Perfect sense. Yes.
You know?
I actually made a vision board. I periodically make vision boards. And the first one I made, I remember I was a senior manager in a bank and I was, you know, bored because I couldn't really stretch any further there. Sometimes you just need to get out of a place and to a new environment. You know, I challenged myself as much as I could. And I saw this little picture of a girl. She was such a little cutie in a onesie. And she was just poking around at something. You couldn't tell what it was. And I put it on my vision board. And people who saw it thought it was because I wanted a baby.
Right, right.
And I said, no. I said, not at all. I said, that to me represents keep your curiosity fresh. Because if you do that, I think, you know, life is more stimulating and you are more interesting. And it just is like a cycle there.
You will never do anything as well. You will never do anything so well as when you are, at least in my opinion, is when you are authentically curious about it. When you are personally authentically curious, you bring such complete attention to it. At least I do.
Right.
And I can tell the difference between I'm mildly curious and really curious about it.
Right. I was actually listening to Larry King this morning because, you know, he came out of retirement and has his own internet show, and they said, why do you do it? And he goes, I can't retire. I thought I could. I can't. He said, but I just love asking questions. And, of course, that comes from an innate and insatiable curiosity, really.
Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned vision boards. And I've noticed that people who do vision boards, there are people who can – I tried doing it, and it just – I couldn't kind of work that way anyway in terms of visualizing things and thinking in those terms, but it didn't work for me. So how do you find they work for you? Do you find that they're a useful tool?
You know, when I was introduced to vision boards, it was when I was still at the bank, as I said, and I thought, this is really silly cutting out pictures and putting them on this board. But I did, and I knew I wanted out and I wanted to escape, and I just had this vision of freedom, which didn't mean I didn't have to work. Of course I have to work, but it meant I just wanted a different state of being. And so I put all these pictures up there that represented that. I was working full-time at the bank. I was going to school full-time. And all of a sudden, I looked at my vision board and I was like, wow, I've done every single thing on there.
Really?
I need to get a new one. Yeah. But I left it I left it in the bedroom so nobody else could see it, you know, unless they went into my bedroom. And I would look at it last thing at night and first thing in the morning. And I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, subliminally or subconsciously putting stuff into your head and having that focus. But I think the main reason it worked was I had a very clear vision and very clear goals, because I'll be really honest, I've done them a couple since that didn't work because I was really cutting out pictures. I thought, yeah, that'd be nice. Oh, yeah, that looks good. But I wasn't really, it wasn't a heartfelt commitment. So I think that's the secret, is your vision board has to be driven from a heartfelt commitment.
That makes absolute sense.
In my experience.
That makes complete sense to me, because it's one thing to have this idea of wanting something, but it's very sort of abstract and almost intellectual. And then there's the wanting it. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Right.
Now you mentioned teaching. You teach a couple seminars every month, give or take, and you teach the hero's journey. Is that right?
Well, I teach the hero's journey for very small groups, for writers or filmmakers, photographers. Because I think it's such a powerful tool. I'm a huge fan of Joseph Campbell's work. That's part of what I was doing when I went back to school while I was still in banking many years ago. And and I was a bit reluctant to take that, but it was mandatory. I was like, I really don't want to take mythology. I did classical mythology at school, but I have to confess, I fell in love with him because talk about curiosity.
Yeah,
Of course, he's dead now, but he was a very curious person. And I think the hero's journey explains so many things in life. And at that time, I was actually going through a separation, and my mother had just been diagnosed with a debilitating disease. And so I thought, you know, this hero's journey, because Joseph Campbell does say this, applies to everything in life. And you may have several different journeys going on at one place. And so I would start to look at it and think, okay, I'm at this point on this journey with my separation. We're at this point on the journey with mom's illness. And I don't know, there's something about it, because you see that, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel there. You're going to come back full circle sometime.
And so we were talking a little bit before we went on the show, and you do the smaller groups. It reminds me of how I like to teach also. And so you teach them to writers and filmmakers. So obviously, I'm sure you're teaching on the one hand this very practical narrative structure that the hero's journey is for writers and filmmakers, but are you also helping them learn to apply it just to their entire lives, almost not quite therapy, but a little bit, like, maybe?
Well, it depends on the group, to be honest. I really try to tailor it as much as possible. And as I said, I do keep it small and intimate because I think it works better that way. And it's usually like 4 to 6 hours, depending, again, on the group. But I will use real-life examples because, you know, many people write about real life. And so and I'll often ask them for their real-life examples, and we'll work through it that way. But it does depend on the group a little bit.
And how can people find out about this if they're interested in participating? Should they go to VickiSt.Clair.com? Would that be the best place? Or
yeah, I usually do put just under my project news what's going on at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I usually interview novelists or memoirists, but I also every once in a while interview like spiritual teachers, like Gary Zukav, a Hindu Swami named Radhanath Swami, who wrote a memoir, mm-hmm. A couple others, and each of them, their lives absolutely follow the hero's journey, including a moment, and a lot of my favorite spiritual teachers had this moment where they basically said, because as I recall from the hero's journey, there is a moment of death in a way where you face the end of something before you can kind of be reborn and carry on.
I think you're probably talking about that you face the end of the known world and you go into
yes.
the unknown world or the
right.
underworld. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we begin in denial because we you know, how many of us sit in that comfort zone, even though we're not really happy with it? It's comfortable. We know it.
Yeah.
And so, that's all part of it. And so in order to go into the underworld, you have to leave that known world. And, yes, some people do call that a death of.
Right. Well, you know, in fact, these teachers, that they all face this kind of death moment where some of them thought, well, I'll either kill
right.
myself or I will change. And it was always a traumatic profound moment, and it was always that moment of facing their very darkest thoughts about themselves or about life as they had seen it to that point, which led them to their greatest work, to the work that they're doing now. And when I hear them tell their stories, it reminds me so much of that hero's journey, of that
right.
that traveling for information, but having to shed that skin in a way. That's how
yeah.
I think of it anyway, yeah. the old self, the husk.
Okay. Yeah, I've actually talked to several people in the same situation too that said they've hit rock bottom. They were about to jump off a bridge per se,
yeah.
and
yeah.
received some message that maybe had been calling them. Something had been niggling at them, but they tuned out until that point, and then that's when the transformation starts. Yeah, it's interesting.
So I don't know. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're not. But there's always something on my plate at any given day that has got my interest. There's something I'm thinking about from day to day, changes and changes and changes. So what about you? Is there something right now that has got Vicki St. Clair's interest, something that you find yourself focusing on a bit more throughout the day than you have recently?
Gosh, that's a tough one. I've always got a lot of projects on the go. And so
right.
pretty much I'm focused on those during the day. Yeah, I'm always interested in learning, as I say. So there are times when, yeah, I get obsessed with, okay, how do I do this? Or what's going on there? I tell you one thing I do want to do is conquer paddleboarding this year. So maybe that's my...
paddleboarding. That's like this... it's sort of like surfing a little bit, yeah? Am I thinking of the
like
right
thing? It looks like a surfboard.
Yeah,
it looks like a surfboard. And you just stand up and paddle on it. And... And
why?
I tried
why do you
a little
want to
bit.
Conquer that?
It just looks so peaceful. I love being out on the water. I love being
yeah.
out on the water. Yeah.
yeah.
And I live right by the water. So I just I put that as one of my goals last year, and I didn't do it. So that's definitely on the list this year. Definitely happening.
Now, how often do it is definitely happening? And when you say something's definitely happening, does it happen?
Yes.
It sounds like it does.
Most of the, yeah, pretty much. As long as I can control it. You can't control everything and everybody else.
No.
But, I control, if I can, I can make the decision to go, sure.
All right, so Vicki, there's a lot of people I know who would say, yeah, this is going to be the year, and I'm going to go paddleboarding. And you know as soon as they say that, they are never going paddleboarding for more than two times. So if you had somebody with you, and you love this person, and you just wish, and you hear them say it again, I am going to go paddleboarding, but I can't. What is it within Vicki that when she says, I know I'm going to do it, that it happens, and people you might know who it doesn't happen? What would you say to them to help them move from where they are to what it seems to me you've learned how to do, to actually let this thing or allow it to happen when you want it to happen?
Yeah, well, I think I'm very conscious that, you know, we only have a finite time on this earth. And I lost some people very close to me, especially over the last 5 years. And that definitely gives you, you know, pause for reflection. And I think part of it was just the way I was raised, because if, you know, as a kid, if we'd say, oh, we want to do this and we'd want to do that, my parents would always say, stop talking about it and go do it.
Right, right.
And so I guess I don't really talk about stuff too much unless I am really interested in doing it. But I hear what you say. I know, you know, I've had people in my life who talk a lot about what they want to do and it never materializes. And I think a lot of that comes from fear. You know, it might be fear of failure, fear of looking stupid, fear of not being good at it. Yeah. But I think the real failure comes always in not trying. And so I think that's really what drives me. It was like going back to the radio show. I'd never done radio, never had any right. training in it. They didn't show me what to do on the mic with the headsets or anything. It was just, we're going live in 30 seconds.
Wow.
Jump in with both feet, baby.
Yeah, that's how I do it. That's just how I do it. I was like, don't try and teach me. Just let me go in there and muck around, and I'm sure I'll figure it out eventually. You know what, though? I was thinking about what you're saying, what your parents said to you, stop talking about and do it. I remember myself once, I was walking along, and I really wanted to start speaking to groups of people. And I was thinking about it all the time, you know, sort of fantasizing what mm-hmm. I might say. And one day I actually stopped to mid-walk. See if this resonates with you. And I said, Bill, you have got to go actually do this thing, because you know – there's a difference between thinking about it and doing it. And you know there's going to be
right.
there's going to be surprises that you cannot predict here in your little imagination. You've got to go find out if it's something you actually want to do. And the only way to know is to actually do it. Have you?
Yeah.
Does that resonate
yeah.
with you?
Because there are, absolutely, Bill. Yeah, there are times when I thought I'm really going to enjoy doing XYZ and found out I hated it when I did it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
times when I've thought, I don't really think I'm interested in that, but I tried it and loved it. And so I think you've got to get out of your own way sometimes and just, you know, stop thinking about it. I'm not talking about planning. Sometimes we have to plan, but, you know, yeah. stop thinking about it and go try. Just go, give yourself permission to go try and go look stupid and go fail if you're going to fail. It's okay. That's, we're human.
That's right, because every event is going to be like a date. You know, you see someone, you think, oh, he or she looks very interesting, but until you sit down and have dinner with them, you don't actually
that's
know,
right.
no matter how beautiful they may look or how great their job resume is or whatever. You've got to go be face-to-face to really know what that is. Everything's like
yeah.
that to some
we've
degree.
We've all been there, too.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
All right, so yeah. we've got just a couple of minutes left here, Vicky. And so you do writing as well, don't you, during – that's part of what you, part of your projects, isn't it?
Yeah, everything I do stems from being a writer. Everything
all right,
has stemmed
perfect.
From being a writer. Yeah. So,
so
yeah.
answer – we have just a minute and a half left. Finish this sentence for me. If writing has taught
uh-oh.
Me anything, it's taught me what?
Oh, boy.
how hard
question.
Is that?
Yeah, that's a good one. If writing has taught me anything, it has taught me that if I put my mind to something, I can get it done.
Excellent.
I think I've written myself out of some difficult times.
Vicky, wonderful answer. See, it was a fast half hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very fast, Bill. Thank you. You made it so much fun. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. Again, so that's it's live with Vicky St. Clair. When, KKNW AM 1150. What time is it on Mondays?
It's on Mondays at noon Pacific.
Okay.
Conversations
Pacific.
Live
right.
with Vicky St. Clair. Yeah.
All right, Vicky. Have a good show next week. I'll talk to you.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, we just have a few minutes left. I'll be live next week with Jeff Ayers. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, go out and try something new. Just try it. See what happens. If it looks interesting, give it a chance. Flirt with it. Go out on a date with it. You might just love it. Who knows? And when you love something, oof, your imagination loves that. Your curiosity loves that. And you just can put it on that thing and watch it grow. So, till next week. Go out, do something you love, love someone you love. Ah, you can't go wrong.